Good afternoon. I'm going to offer kind of an alternative perspective on collective impact, one that's much broader and much less well-defined, actually. But in doing so, hopefully kind of set up the why and really the rationale for collective impact and you know, offer some opportunities to kind of not reinvent, but to redefine ourselves in public health. So I also have nothing to disclose. How many people have seen this before? Really? Okay. It looks like about half. So this is the 10 essential services of public health. You know, this is, I think it's probably been, what, five some years since it's been defined. This model, I think, is the right one for public health, but what I want to propose in my talk is that these pieces are not all equal. And given the times and our context, that the proportion of each piece needs to change. You know, we heard yesterday in the opening that a lot of attendees came on their own dollar, and a lot of those were from local public health. So, you know, given this need for austerity and efficiency, I think it really opens up this conversation for collective impact and the type of collective impact I'm going to try to define here today. So, you know, I mean, essentially public health often gets the short end of the stick and we're kind of left to make hard decisions. Did anyone attend yesterday the Learning Institute on practical application of ethics? No? Okay. I think it was really talking about resource allocation in budget-constrained context. And so as I talk about some of these ideas, I want to always think back to the ethics of what we're talking about and public health as social justice. So don't get me wrong. Even though I'm coming from Berkeley, I'm talking about capitalism here. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about privatization. So this complements the 10 essential services diagram. This is the proposed network of partners for that. How many people identify as a local public health agency? Raise your hands. Okay, keep your hands up. How many? I bet it can get, well, you guys didn't raise your hands the first time earlier. I bet I can get 90% of you in three buckets here. So local public health agency, nonprofit. Keep your hands up. Let's see. Community health center? No. Okay. Well, okay. We have a clear majority in those two buckets. What I'm proposing is that more people should be in this room. I realize this is a public health conference, right? You know, yesterday I met two folks who had attended are attending for the first time, and they both really said the same thing. They said, you know, this is really weird. You know, there's so many people here doing so many good things, but we're not really working together. And why can't we, all of us here, 13,000 plus, make a difference? And, you know, I mean, it really struck me, and I actually reflect back to my first conference and kind of felt the same way. So, you know, who are the partners that aren't here and who should be here? So I'm going to make some assumptions here. First, we're not satisfied with business as usual. And we should never be. And also, you know, public health is just this outcome, this kind of sum at the end of this ecological equation. So we've been called imperialists before. I think that's kind of a compliment. I think we should be more of convivialists, folks that convene and have parties and invite all their friends over. Because, you know, I think these stickers should be everywhere. I don't know if you saw these campaigns a few years ago we did this. The sticker should be on everything, right? And we don't do that to claim our domain over it, but we just recognize that health is an outcome. It's a product, not a process, right? And it's an outcome, but it's not an organization. And it's something that we do, or it's not, I'm sorry, it's not something that we do, but it's something that society achieves. So, and as Carmen said, you know, we're solving really difficult problems here. So those are the assumptions as to why we need this new model. Going in the wrong direction. You all are aware of this. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But again, just to illustrate, you know, recession has highlighted some things, but in general, it's not that new. We've struggled with funding our operations for a long time. And that really reflects this statement here, which I think really succinctly summarizes what we're really talking about, is that our nation's investment portfolio with regards to health is weighted far towards short-term returns. And so that's what we're trying to change. And so again, back to the ethics of it, we're not talking about working around, right? We're talking about making things work better. And so we want to be determined to do that, but we also want to innovate. So it's not really a verse, it's an and. It's not an or, it's an and. I keep going in the wrong direction. And so we're doing this also because other people are doing it. They're recognizing and they're changing. We realize this shift in philanthropy and how they're really focused on measurement, they're focused on outcomes, and they're focused on collaboration. And really, collective impact is what we're talking about today, different from collaboration, and I'll touch on that in a moment. At the very least, we should take advantage of the opportunities there. There's billions of dollars being invested in not only public domains, but private domains, and all of those dollars have the opportunity to do good for health. And so in terms of the market I'm talking about in particular is an impact investing market of $8 billion a year. And this is growing tremendously. And there's a larger market of what's called socially responsible investing of $1 trillion a year. Some of the clearer manifestations of this are what's called benefit corporations. Is anybody familiar with a benefit corporation? So it's basically a hybrid between a for-profit and a non-profit that also has a fiduciary responsibility to the public and public benefit. It's not just to a stakeholder, or I'm sorry, a shareholder, it's financial concerns. One example of kind of this new thinking, this new solution economy that a lot of the folks in the Bay Area are talking about. And then finally, we're already really doing it. The science is telling us to do it. And you know, as Carmen's demonstrating through leadership and our interdisciplinary approaches, we can do it. So. Let me talk a little bit more about what I mean by innovation, social innovation. This is from Stanford Social Innovation Review. You can just go ahead and read it. I'll read it as well. No, a novel solution to a social problem that is more effective, efficient, sustainable, or just than present solutions, and for which the value created accrues primarily to society as a whole rather than private individuals. I think that's a fair definition of what we're talking about. The examples here you might disagree with, and I don't want to go into charter schools or anything like that, but the point is that these are solutions with some sort of social impact in mind, but some sort of business discipline applied to that thinking. Okay, Benjamin Franklin, our favorite. Some of you probably know the quote that we use often in public health prevention, and an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Smart guy, that's where he got the $100 bill. He actually grew up right down the street on Milk Street here in downtown. When I looked up that quote, I was like, you know, we say that all the time, but where did that come from? So it turns out that he incorporated firefighting. He was one of the pioneers of an organized fire department, and he said it in the context of, you know, it's a lot cheaper to go put out fires than to let the town burn down and rebuild it. So it's a strange kind of, you know, metaphorical antithesis, because we're using putting out fires as this, you know, thing we don't want to do, but it just shows how far we've evolved as well. So anyway, go visit his home. Here's another interesting piece of history. We don't really have a whole lot of time to read this, but basically, you know, back in 1908, addressing typhoid, they started to use kind of the same language of prevention and the returns from both an ethical, moral framework, a social justice framework, as well as a market framework. We saw yesterday during the opening, you know, they splashed up the video on ROI. I think that's great that we're having that discussion, but I think it has to include narrative, and I think it has to have a real clear application. So I just put this together to illustrate, you know, upstream, downstream, and the how those returns increase as we move along there. So this is Harvey Fineberg. I don't know him, but he's the president of the Institute of Medicine. So this is a pretty profound statement coming from that person. Public health must weave itself into the larger fabric of societal decision-making if we are to succeed. So how do we do that? Collective impact, and I'm proud to say I grew up in Cincinnati, and STRIVE is an often referenced model for collective impact. So this is one of their original slides, is defining what it is. And running out of time here, I apologize, but, you know, again, it's really that we're focused on the outcomes rather than processes, that we realize that our work is on a periphery of a lot, not the periphery, but we're part of a larger ecosystem of work that could be done to achieve public health. And we learn from those partners, and we learn from elsewhere. Okay, I'm just going to skip this slide. This is probably the more familiar term that we might have engaged in as health departments or other public health agencies, public-private partnerships. Here are a few newer, larger examples. So I realize, you know, I set this talk up as being about community development. I'm just going to talk very briefly about what that looks like. So community developers, I think, are an ideal place to start this engagement with in terms of impact investing. They have the same goals and same mission of public health. They generally work with the same communities. They're addressing the same determinants, education, housing. They're expanding their work. But at the same time, they're very business savvy, and they're connected to financiers. Be it formal community development finance institutions or a larger group of investors and developers. And they're also very willing and ready to partner. There's been a series of health communities formed, convened around the country. I don't know if anybody's been a part of that. It was started by the Federal Reserve Bank, of all people, as part of their responsibility through the Community Reinvestment Act to provide and assure housing for low-income populations. And so there's actually one here for those living in Boston. There's one here in Boston on Friday at Harvard, so I would encourage you to check that out. And I'm skipping my recommendations already. How much time do I have? A minute. Okay. So we've already talked about this. You know, I think what we're really talking about, to achieve collective impact, we need to frame better. I referenced the community transformation grant issue. We were never demonstrating those results well enough and kept getting pounded by Congress for not doing that. Common language, we heard from Carmen about that. Current methods, we already do cost-benefit and cost-effectiveness analysis well. This idea of impact is really based on ROI and having a more efficient public health process. Health impact assessment, that's what I do. I believe it's another tool, another, but also a paradigm for collective impact. First, do no harm, as I said. There's already billions being invested. I actually got interested in this through a school siting and school infrastructure point of view, because states drop billions, on the order of billions of dollars every year into school infrastructure, and we as public health are not at that table influencing those decisions. Start with human capital. Nancy Andrews is one of those big conveners of the Healthy Communities Forums, and she said very well. And I'm done. Let me just go a few more. Investments in physical infrastructure without investment in people run the risk of fleeting returns. Understand intermediaries and investors. You know, I mentioned how community developers are savvy in that. I didn't get time to talk about social impact bonds and pay for success, but I think it's a very promising opportunity. And then again, back to the ethics, let's do both. And let's really question this idea of double and triple bottom line and not make assumptions and always fight for that social contract. And finally, back to those people I met yesterday. Go to a conference where you're the only public health person. I did that recently. It was the best conference ever. This is great. Don't get me wrong, but let's be uncomfortable a little bit. Thank you.